Well, here we are on the last day of the church year. Seems like a good day to have a certain amount of reflection on what the year has gone by. But then I started thinking slightly differently. And if this is the reign of Christ Sunday, the question came to me, and I don't think it's an unreasonable question, what kind of reign is this? Now, none of us, or at least I don't think any of us, or certainly not very many of us, have had direct experience of living under an absolute monarch. There are some. Saudi Arabia leaps to mind, the kind of place where the king says this is what happens, still has the power of life and death over his subjects. I mean, we have a queen, but honestly, we can go weeks, maybe months at a time and not really think about Queen Elizabeth, and our life will go along pretty much exactly the same. I don't even think it would bother her, to be quite honest with you. We don't know what it's like to live under a king or a queen. But I think we can kind of imagine what it's like. And so when we think of Reign of Christ Sunday, I think it's a legitimate question. What kind of a reign is this? Does it make any difference? You can tell you're in a very different place when you go to Saudi Arabia. I've never been there. I've never been to that part of the world at all, which is certainly nothing I'm proud of. I'd love to go there. I think it would be fascinating. But my understanding is that when you go from some parts of Middle East there into Saudi Arabia, you can tell as soon as you get there because it's so different. Women aren't allowed to drive, for example. They dress differently. There's all kinds of immediate changes that come because of that reign, because of what the king has decided his kingdom is going to look like. But what about this reign? What about the reign of Christ? Is there a difference? We haven't lived under a king or a queen, but we certainly know what they can be like. They can be all the way from, well, crazy isn't too strong a word. When Caligula was the king of Rome, Caesar of Rome, he made one of his horses a senator. We'll just leave that one there for our current context and what might be better. But I think we can safely say that that's kind of odd behavior. Kings can do weird things. Kings can also do extraordinary things. I think of Scandinavia in 1905, when Norway became an independent kingdom again, which they managed to do without a revolution or with no bloodshed, to be honest. The king said, "There will never be a time when there is distance between me and my people." And even now, if you're walking around in Oslo, you can bump into the king. He's just there. Kings can do extraordinary things. In Denmark, in the Second World War, when Denmark was taken over by the Nazis, they said, all Jews are going to have to wear a yellow Star of David. King said, fine, I'll wear one too. And everyone in Denmark wore a yellow Star of David. Extraordinary act of courage in the face of barbarism that we can barely even imagine. Made a difference. The king of Denmark made a difference. Norway is a different kind of place because of its king. Canada is different than the United States. Part of it is because of our constitutional monarchy. We have a queen. We don't have a president. Our head of state is a person. It's different. What kind of a reign is the reign of Christ? Well, first of all, is he a king at all? Well, in our Luke reading, he was certainly thought to be a king, a very odd king, very peculiar place for a king to be, but there was a sign over his head that said he was the king of the Jews. At least one of the prisoners beside him thought he was the king. But is that the kind of reign we're looking for? Is that the only kind of reign that Jesus had? Well, when we flip over to our Colossians reading, it's not as obvious there. And we've been in this part of Colossians before. It's just a tremendous part of Paul's writing about who Jesus is. And we look at it again and we see that God is the image, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Jesus created it. And by it, it's everything. He's the king because it's his. We call it whatever label we want to put on it, but today being reign of Christ, Sunday we think of Christ's kingship, and his kingship begins with the fact that he created everything. When you create something, you have a claim on it. Now, we don't create things the same way God did, of course. We don't create things out of nothing, but we create artworks, we create all kinds of monuments and things that we do, and we have a claim over them because we created them. Jesus has a claim over this earth. But what kind of a reign is it? Well, I know what kind of a reign I want it to be. I want it to be perfect. I want everything to work all the time. I want it to be just the way it's supposed to be. And so do you. But what does that look like? Is it going to be the same for each of us? We think we know what the world should look like. We think we know what should happen and what would be best all the time. But frequently, and I've spoken of some of my own experiences, and I've talked to some of you who have had the same, that we look at things that we never would have chosen, ever, when they happened. But we look back at them and we say, if that thing we didn't want wouldn't have happened, all these other things we do want wouldn't have happened either. So I guess it's okay that thing happened, whatever it was, whatever we wouldn't have chosen. And we begin to realize that maybe we're just not wise enough. We don't have enough breadth of understanding or knowledge to be able to make those kinds of decisions, to know what is best. And when we look at it that way, I think it's important for us to have a little bit of humility when we start asking what kind of a reign is this, because if we can't really describe exactly what it should look like, maybe we wouldn't even recognize it when we saw it. When we think of our own lives and the things that we don't want, and when we think of the things that make our lives terrible, whatever terrible means at that particular moment, usually it's fairly trivial. If we step aside from those and we look at the larger picture, there are things that go on that we can't even imagine how they would possibly fit into the reign of Christ. And we think of, well, what's going on in the Philippines right now? We think of wars, we think of abuse, we think of bad things everywhere, and we say, how can this be happening? If Christ is king, if his reign is meaningful, how can those things be happening at the same time? Well, as I've said many times, God gave me children for many reasons, but partially to understand him better. Because one of the things that comes with the reign of Christ is a king who loves us enough to let us make our own decisions. A king that loves us enough to let us not love him back. I wish my children would do everything that I think they should do. And there are days, this week leaps to mind, that I would be perfectly happy if I could somehow compel them to do what I think they should do without them having anything to do with the decision. Except when I really think about it, no, I don't want that at all. I want my children to do what I think they should do, to do what I think is right, because they want to. But until they come to that place where they're going to make those decisions because they want to, I let them make decisions that I know aren't very good. Try and protect them from really bad ones, and I think I've done at least an okay job so far, Heather and I. But we don't want our children to be automatons, to be robots, to be programmed beings, and neither does Jesus, neither does God. The reign of Christ is not It's not a game where everything is programmed. The reign of Christ is Christ's intimate involvement with his creation, but still allowing the creation to go in the direction that it wants to. We don't always understand that, and we frequently wish it wasn't that way. Often in retrospect, when we say, I wish I wouldn't have done that thing, I think, well, I knew I shouldn't have done it while I was doing it, and the next step, of course, is I wish I couldn't have done that thing, that I was somehow compelled not to. But that's not how Jesus works. It's not how God works. He didn't say, I'm going to come into the world and force you to be exactly the way you should be. He came into the world saying, I'm going to love you. I'm going to save you. And I'm going to give you an example and assistance so that you can do what I would like you to do. But if you choose not to, I'm going to love you anyway. That's what kind of reign this is. It's a reign of love, not of compulsion. We look out into the world around us, whether close at hand or far away, and we see all of these things that we wish weren't the case. And on our bad days, that's all we see. If we're having a bad day, we watch the news or we listen to the news and we hear about what's going on in the Philippines, we throw up our hands and say, well, what's the point? Can God possibly be there? Well, it's easier to believe that he's there when we don't just look at the destruction in the Philippines, but we look at all those people who are reaching out to help. Many of them reaching out at considerable cost to themselves to meet the needs of people they don't even know. That's part of the reign of Christ, too. It would be convenient for us, it would be easy, if we couldn't sin. We've said it before. But we wouldn't be fully human then. Often we wish God wouldn't trust us quite as much as he does. But we wouldn't be his people then. God wants us to reach out to him, to do what we know we should do because we love him, not because we can't do the alternative. The reign of Christ is the kind of reign where you have the freedom to become who you are, to become who you were meant to be, but to have the freedom to not do that as well. A love that's compelled is not a love really at all. God doesn't want that any more than we do. And on this last Sunday of this church year, as we think about the reign of Christ, and if we're having, as I said, a bad day, and we look around and all we see are things that suggest that it's not there, in a very interesting sense, that's another sign of the reality of the reign of Christ. Because for all of these things where we can see him, the difference he's made to us as individuals, the difference that can only be explained by an interaction with God in the lives of those around us, all of those things are also signs. And they're signs that the reign of Christ is a reign of love. A reign that says, I will help you as much as you want and need help, but not when you don't want it. It's a respectful reign in a way that many kings and queens didn't seem to be able to do. Oh, being compelled to be good would be convenient, but we wouldn't really be human anymore. And the fact that the world doesn't look exactly the way we want it to has nothing to do with whether or not God is really on the throne. And it's important for us to remember that. It's important for us to never forget that God has said, I want you to come to me. I'm not going to force you to come to me. And the reign of Christ is a reign that says, I will love you so much that you will come to me because of that love, not because of a compulsion. And really, I don't think I want that other kind of reign when I really think about it. I want to have the freedom to move towards God when I feel that incredible love directed towards me. He is on the throne. It's not a throne that is similar to King of Saudi Arabia. It's not even similar to the throne that Queen Elizabeth sits on. It's a completely different way of reigning. It's a completely different way of being a king. But it's the only kind that God wants, and it's the only kind that we want. Amen.